Welcome to Wish. Semper Reformanda. Semper Reformanda. And it's good to have you here today.
I'm never everybody. Welcome to Theocast, right? Here we are.
Let you. For those of you who have been listening for a while,
coming to you from beautiful Asheville, North Carolina, and sunny Spring Hill, Tennessee.
Well, all now you sound like a Californian. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. I like that. I literally had a guy come up to me and say, "Where are you from?" And I was like, "I'm from California." He goes, "Yeah, I thought I could recognize that accent," which I was like, "We have an accent?"
Not really. I mean, certainly not.
Not recognizable in any ways. So, but he was born and raised in the South. So, you know, obviously I'm not from the South. We are completely off track. It's good to be here with you. We are finding some new energy. We have some movement happening. We had a pretty good long meeting today with some people that are going to help us get some more material out to you. And Justin and I are
doing our best. Some rebranding of Theocast.
Oh, yikes. You dropped it.
Yikes.
Yowkses. But we are, we're trying. We have lots of desires and not enough time and resources. And we're leaving that all in the Lord's hand, doing what we know to do best. Speaking of, I know you're all dying to hear about what conference I went to. And I got to meet some of you at the conference. That was fun. So,
John, let me set it up first.
All right.
Just briefly. So one of the things that we talked about on the regular show today, and John led with this, which was smart, because if we had led with the neo-gnomism stuff, we would have talked about it for 30 minutes and it would have dominated the show. And we talk about that stuff a lot. So we, before we hit record on the regular episode, like I pitched this idea of an anemic gospel and John liked it. And so we started talking about different ways that an anemic gospel, a less than the whole Christ presentation, characterizes so much of the church in different streams and different flavors, right? And so that's what really gave rise to the episode today. And he led us off by talking about this camp right now that seems so concerned about the vaccine and the overreach of the government and all this kind of stuff. And we're not trying to offend anyone right now,
right?
Because we understand that there are different opinions amongst our listeners on some of these matters. And that's appropriate because we should be united around Christ. And then we ought to be really charitable to each other. So John went to a conference a few months ago in his own town. And dude, like John was messaging me all day from the conference and was like, each talk, each plenary address that was given, he was sending me like live knee-jerk reactions. And it was sad and discouraging, yet predictable, because John's main takeaway was, homie, I've been here all day. I ain't even really heard about Jesus yet.
No.
And this is a ministry, I think, that would pride itself on being a gospel ministry. And it's sad how we can so easily have our gaze ripped off of Christ and put on other stuff. John, go.
It's, you know, so am I mentioning this conference or are we just keeping it back? Oh, okay. Well, there we go. So, I was going to be up in Nashville for other reasons. I noticed they were having a one-day conference on my birthday, by the way. So
National Bourbon Day.
Yeah, that is National Bourbon Day.
June 14th.
I did partake in that. But, we have a listener. I don't know if he contacted you. They're sending us some special bourbon. So FYI, coming your way. Yeah, I just heard from him yesterday.
Praise be.
Anyways, June 14th, for those of you who don't know, I turned 40, believe it or not. I'm old. But I was up in Nashville for this conference, and it's by Founders Ministry, which I have appreciated for many years. We use some of their resources, Sam Moran's books printed by them.
There are some good things that have come out of Founders.
Their Confession, 1689,
we bought
hundreds of those.
We use it too.
Mm-hmm. So I have positive things to say there. In many ways, I've been thankful for the years of clarity they have brought, but it seems that in the last few years, things have changed. And I was actually excited to go to the conference because I didn't know some of the people that were going to be speaking there, wanted to hear what they have to say. Title of the conference was Be It Resolved, subtitle, A Call for Resolution in Uncertain Times. Well, I was very curious. And, you know, they're dealing with the SBC. This was kind of a pre-conference. They called it the SBC Founders Conference.
Because Founders is a subset of the SBC. That needs to be stated. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were going to be making some petitions in the SBC meeting. And so on my way to that conference, side note, I think I told you this, Justin, I actually met Mark Dever on the way there. Yeah. He and I crossed ways and it was completely awkward and he was in a hurry and he was very kind to me. And I just said, hi, I just wanted to say hi. I know who you are. So anyways, but while I was at the conference, I know I'm kind of stalling. I tried to go in very open-minded. I understood this was dealing with SBC issues. Go ahead.
Give me the subtitle of the conference again, John.
Yeah, it is called Be It Resolved.
That's the title, yeah.
Right. A Call for Resolution. In Uncertain Times. Yeah.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. My hope, if I'm you, and if I had been attending the conference, is, all right, I hope these dudes are going to talk about like our resolve and like what we're going to be making resolutions about is we gonna preach Christ. In That's uncertain right. times. That's what That's I hope up. I'm about to go hear.
Yes.
Is a bunch of gospel in the midst That's of right. all this insanity. Go.
Right. Where you had, I don't know, there's 500 people, maybe more in that room. And there's a lot of pastors in there. And so I was in there and I was hoping to hear about the sufficiency of Christ Amen. In the midst of tumult times and how what we're doing matters, that when the world wants us to waver and deal with social issues, we're going to stand firm on what's been handed to us. This is a confessional ministry.
Yeah.
This is a historic ministry. This is a reform ministry. This is a covenantal ministry. And so I was walking in saying, listen, we have been handed this. We're going to be resolved to stay focused, firm on Christ. And Justin, unfortunately, it became more about fighting against, it really was just cultural fundamentalism is all it was. Is we aren't going to give in to the culture shifts of the day. And, you know, the SBC is dealing with a lot of weird shifts, liberalism out the wazoo. And they were basically trying to hold to the old paths of a cultural stance.
Yeah.
And I heard in the first three lectures, I heard a lot about the decline of the culture, the decline of the American culture, the decline of the church, how we've given into liberalism, how we've given into egalitarianism. And yet I never heard Jesus or the gospel. In one lecture, I never heard Jesus mentioned
at all. That's heartbreaking to me.
It is. So what are we being resolved? We're being resolved to hold to a particular cultural stance. Mm-hmm. And that's not what the church is called to.
No, right.
And there was one that was a longer lecture that was given, and it was helpful. And he definitely mentioned Christ and the atonement of Christ.
Praise God.
I know. And I tweeted you right away.
You
or
did.
Texted you right
you
away.
Texted and I was me, like, dude, hey, finally, man, we finally got some good news.
But it was the least attended session. And you know, whatever. But the point is, about halfway through one session, one of the statements was made, and this is where I was kind of like, I think I'm going to go, you know, send some emails. I'm not going to be here. But the statement was, your bad theology leads to immorality. And the problem with that type of perspective is that the Bible doesn't tell us that bad theology leads to immorality every single time. I know that David led to immorality. And I'm pretty sure David didn't have bad theology when he fell with Bathsheba. Yeah. So the point of it was that we need to stay true in our theology and that'll keep us the church pure. And that's not necessarily true.
Well, if we stay pure in our theology to keep the church pure, if we're talking about Christ and the gospel, right. And what I mean by that is the Lord will rally people around Christ through that message. But when we preach this whole, like, well, the problem with the church is, you know, A, B, and C moral cultural issues, and we need to hold the line to what it was like back in the good old days. That's just
no, and that's
golly,
what he was talking
dude.
About.
I know
is that we have lessened the preaching on holiness. This is what he was dealing with. Is that we have lessened the preaching on holiness, which listen, holiness is necessary, but it cannot be accomplished apart from the gospel. It just cannot be done. And this
preaching
is why
on holiness doesn't produce holiness. The preaching of Christ produces holiness.
Yeah, right. Instructions doesn't produce holiness. Christ produces holiness, and faith in Christ produces holiness. It's always, this is why Paul says, who told you that you are now going to produce holiness by works of the law? He says, the way that you began is the way that you continue, which is by faith That's in Christ. Right. So, you know, halfway I walked out and I got stopped by some listeners and we had a really great conversation about it afterwards. But it was heartbreaking. It's really hard for Justin and I in this ministry where we receive so many questions that are people that are brand new. Someone today asked, oh, does anybody else get really encouraged by Paul Washer's sermons? And they posted it in the Facebook group. And I loved how people replied. They were very kind. But Justin and I
should always be.
We always
kind,
walk
gracious,
in a manner
charitable,
worthy of the calling to which you've been called with meekness, patience, and gentle with all. And but you know, we have given our perspectives on that stuff, and really, this is Paul Washer is a great example of this type of preaching where he is basically saying holiness needs to, the holiness water levels. This is Kevin DeYoung as well. That level needs to be raised up. We haven't been preaching holiness, and it's neo-nomism is what this is. It's a new form of law. And what we're trying to help people see, we don't want to be angry. We don't want to be ugly.
No,
this is not the point. We're just saying, if we want to talk about being resolved, Justin and I are resolved unwaveringly saying Christ is enough.
Amen.
The gospel is enough. And if you preach the Bible redemptive historically and you allow the flow of scripture to unfold, you will conclude that there is a necessity of holiness and there are instructions for it. But your motivation must always be Christ and Him crucified. Yes. You remove that motivation and the law only becomes guilt and dread. That's all it is.
Amen, dude. I mean, yeah, I'm just sitting listening and I'm processing, and I'm contemplating tweeting, preaching holiness doesn't produce holiness, preaching Christ produces holiness, and I know I will be crucified on social media as soon as I do.
I'm all for it.
Because people will immediately be like, well, brother, how are they going to know how to be holy if you don't preach about holiness and all this kind of stuff? And I'm like, look, man, I believe we should preach the law. Stop. I'm about to put on, like, disclaimer, I preach the law and believe we should. Now.
That's right.
You know, preaching about holiness doesn't produce it. Preaching Christ produces holiness. Why? Because this thing is supernatural, friends. It's the Spirit of God using.
We would agree that preaching holiness is necessary once the motivation is in place, because that's the how-to. It's like, okay, this is how you do it. Because he'll say things like meekness and gentleness and patience and long-suffering and forbearance and carrying each other's burdens. All of that stuff is holiness.
Right.
But it's not necessary if you don't have the right motivations to do it.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll probably thoughtfully try to phrase the tweet so as to be clear. you know, that to preach holiness, just to simply preach holiness will not produce holiness in anyone.
No.
It is the preaching of Christ that actually produces that. And so I guess that's what I'm listening to you, I'm processing it, and I'm thinking about this conference, and I too share gratitude for Founders Ministry in ways as well. And so I'm like, man, yeah, if I was going to that conference with that title and that subtitle, I would be thinking, man, I really hope that we get the sufficiency of Christ today. I hope we get the fact that the gospel and that what Jesus has accomplished needs to be, you know, our theme. Redeeming love has been my theme, right? And shall be till I die. I hope that's what we get today, you know? Well, and then what's sad is you go, and like you say, you get a bunch of cultural analysis and cultural commentary that frankly, you know, some Victorian Englishman could have said who didn't even believe in Jesus. You know, and it's just like, I mean, what are we doing is my initial reaction.
Well, this is Together for the Gospel, what, 6 years ago? I think it was maybe 5 years ago, where the subject was on the holiness of God, and the entire thing was hijacked by racism. Do you remember this?
Mm. I wasn't there.
Yeah, unfortunately I was. And it was one of those things where I was really excited to hear about the holiness of God and just, you know, it'd be encouraging and strengthening, because the gospel can't be separated from the holiness of God, because it's, you have to have the gospel in order for the holiness of God to make sense for us as sinners. Mm-hmm. And yet the whole thing got hijacked by race. It was Martin Luther King's, was it 50th anniversary or whatever? But the point of it, all of it is that we aren't here to cause problems. We just kind of want to shake the tree a little bit and say, maybe our eyes are on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And let's get our eyes where we have been faithfully, it's been faithfully handed down to us, and let's do well to faithfully pass it on to the next generation.
Yeah, that's well said, man. I don't think I can frame it any better. Other than what I said earlier, to add to what you just said, that whenever our gaze is ripped away from Christ and put on something else, it cannot go anywhere good.
No.
And what our gaze needs to be firmly fixed upon is Christ and His work in our place. And that needs to be the song of the church. And that needs to be the theme of the preaching.
My hope is built
Sunday
on nothing
after
less.
Sunday, year after year, decade after decade. Say again.
My hope is built on nothing less.
Yeah.
Than Jesus, cultural commentators and news at best. Whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, like John said, I mean, I want to reiterate that too. I mean, we are not trying to step on anyone's toes. We're not trying to offend people. We're not trying to just be shock jocks and get everybody riled up. What we're trying to do is ask a thought-provoking question of all of us. Like, what's your gaze fixed on? What gets you fired up? And what do you understand the Christian life to be about, the mission of the church to be? What is it that we need to be doing when we gather? Like, those are questions that we all need to really wrestle with and come to terms with and be able to give a legitimate, clear answer to those questions.
That's right.
And so today has been our attempt to maybe shed some light on this and how a lot of the answers that are given are probably not the best ones.
So think about, let me just end with this. Again, we are lovers of Ephesians 4, but I think it's important for us to hear this. Paul is emphasizing Christ, and he's talking about the purpose and the nature of Christ. And I just want to hone in on this specific area when he says that the job of the shepherds is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And then he says this, until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure and statures of the fullness of Christ. So it's hard to imagine if we're doing our job and we're equipping the saints, we're building them up into the nature and the fullness of Christ. Mm-hmm. And listen to this, so that you are no longer tossed about to and fro by waves, by every wind of doctrine, by human cunningness, by craftiness and deceitful mm-hmm. schemes. So the point of it is that Paul is making a massive emphasis on the nature of Christ being infused or being preached over, taught, given to the people. And when I look at the church, it doesn't seem like there's this emphasis on making sure that we are equipping. I mean, when he says, be ready to give every man an answer of the hope that lies within you, mm-hmm. it seems like we're giving an answer for everything else but the hope that lies within us. And when we start, I think, wavering from these clear instructions, like I don't, that doesn't seem confusing to me, Justin. Mm-hmm. It seems very clear that the emphasis is Christ and him crucified, in that holiness, in other words, I think it's important how we vote. I think it's important how we live. I think that we fight against sin, but the motivation is always we're being built up in Christ to do the work. And it seems like either the work is changing or reversing it. And the motivation is always either utopian. That's transformationalist culture right now.
Sure.
We're protecting we're trying to create a utopian. You have liberalism where you're changing the message altogether. It also is a utopian model, but we can do that by being happy. And then, you know, the last motivation is really fear. If you don't live holy, then, you know, mm-hmm. you better start questioning your salvation. And Christ is not sufficient in any of these areas. And the whole point of this SR is so that you will hear this as team members saying, what we are doing is on a long line. This isn't new. We didn't come up with this.
No.
It is obviously based in scripture, but it's been handed down to us. And I think we need to take great confidence in that and stand firm and do what we're doing.
And we are not telling you to not be involved in social and political things in the world.
Right.
By all means, be involved. By all means, you know, vote your conscience, and by all means, like, love people as best you know how and pursue justice in every area of life that you find yourself involved in, right? Please do that stuff. And as a Christian, as a member of a local church, understand what the church is about.
That's
and
right.
Understand what we do when we gather. And think well, if you're a pastor, think well about what you preach and how. Think well as elders about how you lead your church. If you're a congregant, think about what you want to look for in a Sunday morning gathering and in the culture of a local congregation, right? That's the point, and that's the takeaways. Go somewhere where Christ is heralded as sufficient and where rest in him is held out to the saints all the time.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for participating. If you're not in the app, come on over there and start interacting with us.
Come on in. The water's nice.
Come on. Water's nice. I'm posting stuff in there all the time now. I even posted in the episode early. I just thought I'd drop it in there. I'm like, why not? It's done. It's ready. You can
have
it. Enjoy. And this team only works if you all are willing to help us out, and you are. So you're doing a fantastic job, and I appreciate that. We'll see you guys all next week.
Holler.